Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
All right, let's talk about something that happens only once every 10 years. No, it's not your high school reunion. It's much more fun. The redistricting of city council lines in New York City to reflect the population shifts in the most recent census. Oh, boy. Carl Hum is executive director of the New York City Redistricting Commission, and they are in the middle of this process that will redraw the map with possibly huge implications for who represents you and other New Yorkers in the city's 51 council districts. Carl, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
And before we get too far into the details of the process, I wonder what you've learned about our changing city. Since you're spending all day looking at this census data, what basic trends have you spotted?
Once again, it just confirms everyone's initial impression that New York City is an incredibly complex city. Not only in terms of, you know, the different industries we have here, but just in terms of the people that we have here, and it is forever changing.
And redistricting, I always say redistricting is the most boring possible topic that's the most important.
Having spent some time on this, I find it incredibly fascinating, but hopefully your listeners will agree with me.
So, for example, as we always try to make it fascinating, and I say boring tongue-in-cheek, because people roll their eyes, oh, you're going to talk about redistricting, but it really is fascinating because it reflects who we are as a city, or at the national level, who we are as a nation.
Absolutely. It is really a building block of our democracy and participatory democracy. What districting does, it does two things. I mean, number one, it ensures equal representation, going back to, you know, the constitutional principle of one person, one vote, that ensures that my vote in Brooklyn has as much weight as your vote in Manhattan. And the second thing it does, it also ensures fair representation in that it tries to capture districts that reflect common interests and common communities.
And by the way, I guess in response to what I said, Rosie Perez just tweeted at us, quote, "This is why primary elections of local representatives are just as important as anything."
Indeed.
Do you expect her to show up at your meetings?
I expect her as well as the rest of the public to show up at the meetings. I mean, this is really the opportunity for the next 2 weeks. We have a series of public hearings throughout the five boroughs to get the community's response on how the lines are currently drawn, what the preliminary draft map looks like, and really it's their time to express how they see their communities. I mean, from the staff perspective and, you know, being executive director of the staff, you know, we are rich in data. We have census data. We have a multitude of mapping data. What we don't have is the common experience and the stories of the New Yorkers out there and how they define their communities.
And Rosie, a very active listener and dedicated New Yorker, by the way, and somebody who gets it about the importance of local politics and isn't afraid to say so. But there was a 32% jump, for example, in the city's Asian population since 2000, and the expectation is that there should be new opportunities for Asian Americans to get elected with the drawing of the new district lines. But I see that certain Asian American groups have criticized the process for not reflecting this enough. So how much do you take into account population and cultural change trends, and how much are you just trying to balance the numbers?
Well, first off, let me say that the districting commission and also districting process in New York City is pretty unique in that it's an independent commission. It's appointed by appointees from the mayor and the city council speaker and the minority leader. But at the end of the day, it's independent folks that are on the commission. There are, you know, people of all walks of life. And it's up to them to decide how these lines fall. And so with regards to, you know, some of the criticisms that have been lodged against us, the forum to really provide the input is at the public hearings.
And listeners, we can take your phone calls if you're concerned about your city council district lines. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And on our show page at WNYC.org, we posted some interactive maps that let you look up your district and see how it would change under Carl Hump's commission's proposal. For instance, if you look up our address here at 160 Varick Street in Hudson Square on the Lower West Side of Manhattan, we're in the 3rd Council District, and our district wouldn't change that much. It looks like it extends slightly farther north but slightly less east. Is there one part of the city that has seen the most change in these proposed district lines?
You know, I would say that in terms of, the first cut that we took was really in proportionality and making sure that all the districts are equal in size. And I think that, you know, there are various districts around the city that lost or gained population. I think one of the more dramatic ones is probably in northern Manhattan, the 10th District, where it lost around 20,000 residents over the past 10 years. I think another...
That's my neighborhood. I live in Inwood. Where'd my neighbors go?
Well, that's a good question because, you know, the data that we work off of is census data. And I know there's been a lot of criticism with regards to whether the Census Bureau counted us correctly or not. But the numbers that we use have to be the census data because there's no other reliable source of information. I'll also point out another area that's kind of interesting in terms of this round of districting is that Staten Island, for the first time in its history, gets 3 city council districts totally within its borders. It no longer shares a district with Brooklyn.
And is that so that the district makes more sense? Because there always was, I think, some tension in that district that long existed that kind of straddled the bridge, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the reason why is because it's making sure, it's going back to the one person, one vote principle and making sure that one district is not disproportionately too large or too small. But thankful because of the gains in population in Staten Island, it grew by nearly 6%. In the last 10 years, that it now has 3 districts within its own borders.
And as far as Inwood, it seems more crowded to me than ever, so I don't know what I'm missing here. But there is a controversial proposal for change in northern Manhattan, where the line currently runs down Broadway, and that means it separates the leafier communities on the west from the poorer communities on the east side of Broadway. And I see the proposed new lines would put those two areas in the same district. And I guess to the extent that the two sides of Broadway have different political interests, you know, one has the luxury to be more concerned with public parks and noise, and one might say the other may be fighting for more basic services, affordable housing, policing, and so on. Not that these things aren't all interests of the entire community, but how do these kinds of population and income divides factor in?
Say that the lines that are currently on the website, and again, please visit our website, nyc.gov/districting, to see the proposed lines. But with regards to how those communities come together, it goes back to the fact that these lines are preliminary. And, you know, that's why we have these hearings, to make sure that we're hearing from the public as to how they feel about these lines. And with regards to your question with regards to how these communities find communities of interest or common interest, I mean, it goes on a number of factors. It goes beyond economics. It goes, there's a number of factors that are included. All their children may go to the same school. They may use the same bus line or the same transportation route. And some of the issues that they face as a community, whether it be on the west side or the east side, could be the same.
And listeners, again, on our website, we have a link to a site where you can draw your own city council district maps if you want to play the role of districting commissioner.
Yep.
If this is your idea of, instead of fantasy football, you want to be the fantasy districting commissioner, go for it at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. James in Manhattan, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question is, so many of the districts look like, to me, they remind me of the blotch on Gorbachev's head. And I'm wondering if it has ever been discussed of simplifying the process and just making it much more like the election districts or the school districts, which seem to make much more sense. They're sort of all on the, say the street grid or something like that. These winding, curvy things seem obviously to have been completely political and, subject to manipulation and corruption and all those kind of things.
You know, there's a political advantage to the blotch on Gorbachev's head, which is that it was kind of purple. So there was no red Gorbachev, no blue Gorbachev, just Gorbachev. Anyway, go ahead.
Thanks for your call. one of the guiding principles in creating districts is making sure the neighborhoods are kept intact. And fortunately or unfortunately, our neighborhoods are not defined by perfect squares or perfect rectangles. So in terms of creating districts that capture neighborhoods, we have to make some curves and some cuts here and there. You know, at the end of the day, we are guided by principles that are based in the Constitution, also based in federal law, as to how districts must be drawn. And one of them is that it needs to be compact. Now, compactness sometimes is a subjective term, but I think that, what goes behind it is making sure that the communities and the neighborhoods are kept together.
Here's a similar question, in a way, from David in Manhattan, or at least I think the underlying sentiment is the same. Hi, David. You're not going to talk about any world leader deformities, are you?
No, I'm not. I wonder why you can't take humans out of it. Just have a computer randomize the districts. And what he just said about keeping neighborhoods intact, they stay intact. Everyone gets one person, one vote, but it won't be manipulated by people with different interests. Just have a computer randomize numbers, make districts, and everyone gets to vote. And I don't care if half my neighborhood votes somewhere else. We can all still vote as a neighborhood. That's my question.
When you say randomize, you mean citywide? So just 160,000 people, which is the average city council district size, from anywhere around New York get lumped together as a group?
Well, that's one way to do it. I mean, the objective would be to get people out of it, so no one has influencing, people trying to jerry, what's it called, a jury rig? I forget the word.
Gerrymander.
Gerrymander these boundaries to favor their political objectives. I think if you want one person, one vote for real, just randomize it with some sort of lottery, and then everyone votes, near where they live, but like in big block squares, and a neighborhood would still be a neighborhood, only we might vote in two different booths, but that's still a neighborhood.
David, thank you very much. This underlying tension, Carl, between the desire to randomize or to, let's say, just draw the map of the city, since there are 51 council districts into 51 square blocks that are more or less equal, as opposed to the other values that you're trying to maintain, which is to keep communities of interest, as you call them, together.
That's right.
It's a very difficult tension, and one that seems to satisfy almost nobody.
Yeah, well, we have to keep our eye at the end goal here, and it's to make sure that the legislature, that the body that we elect at the end of the day, reflects our society. And I'm afraid by, while it's, I think it's an interesting thought to do a random computerization drawn districts, I'm not sure if that's going to create a legislature that's going to reflect the diversity of our city.
The pushback is that even though this has been a very accepted notion now for a long time under civil rights laws and ideas of civil rights, that some people think, well, it polarizes our city into the four groups, sort of Latino, Asian, Black, and White, as opposed to kind of forcing people to pull together in geographically compact areas, and then everybody's represented. It's just not necessarily along those four ethnic lines.
And again, I made the point earlier that race is yet one consideration that goes into districting, and that's why it's so important for people to participate in the process, whether it be through coming to the public hearings or simply logging on to our website, again, nyc.gov/districting, and providing your comments or, as you point out, drawing a map.
So, listeners, you can draw these fantasy district maps via the link on our site at WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show, and Carl Hum, Executive Director of the New York City Council Redistricting Commission, tell people how they can participate in person.
Sure. So next week, we will be having a series of five hearings throughout the city, going from the 2nd of October to the 11th of October. The 2nd in the Bronx will be at Bronx Community College. The 4th in Manhattan at the Schomburg Center. On the 9th, we'll be at Staten Island at New Dorp High School. And on the 10th, we'll be out in LaGuardia College in Queens. And on the 11th, we'll be at Mega Evers in Brooklyn. But you can always check on our site to find out the exact locations, and they all start at 5:30.
And by the way, this is one of the closest things to the nonpartisan redistricting model that Ed Koch and others promote, that the state really kind of failed to adopt, that we don't see with respect to congressional districts in a way that makes most of us proud. The city, by just about everybody's reviews, has taken some of the biggest strides in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's really unique to have a commission that is independent, that there's really, look at other states and other localities, and they have legislature or legislators, drawing their own lines, which, could be interpreted as a little bit of self-interest.
Carl Hum, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, Kate White, former editor of Cosmopolitan. She has a new book that will include, among other things, the pitfalls for women after you get promoted. And we'll also talk about the media and the state of the magazine industry with Kate White. Stay with us.